Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Just so appreciate you being so not only concerned for your own spiritual well-being to come out on a midweek service, but the more you're strengthened, the more the body's strengthened. And the more the body's strengthened, the more the world's helped. People that are hurting. And so you weren't selfish tonight. Not that if you weren't, if people that aren't here are selfish, I don't mean that. But you put yourself on hold and said, I'm going to come and get something. And you're going to benefit too. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and 18, let's pray and make sure he gets what he wants said here tonight. Father, we're just honored to be here. And Lord, we just, we buffet our bodies. We renew our minds. And so our spirits are ready to receive. Our spirits are hungry. They'd rather be nowhere else than here sitting under the teaching and the preaching of the word. Father, our minds might not feel that way and our bodies might not, but Lord, we're not ruled by our minds and our bodies. And so we get ourselves in check here tonight and we say we're hungry to receive from you tonight, Father. So thank you for what you have for us. Speak through me. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, you're the vine. I'm just a branch, Father. I can't do this without you. So speak through me as if I'm the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you. Help is brought tonight, Lord, that not only will we be helped for being here, but the body will be strengthened and the world that's hurting will be helped, Father. And we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about prayer in the last 2 weeks. We talked about that name of Jesus. And the next few weeks, we're going to look at the different types of prayer that there is in the Bible. And Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says this. It says, praying always with all prayer. The Amplified says all manner of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But I want to focus on that first line. It says, praying always with all prayer. Or the Amplified says, praying with all manner of prayer. And it seems that, you know, and it's just because of ignorance and because people aren't taught, but it seems like people just want to throw all the different kinds of prayer into one bag and shake it up together, and then when anything arises, you just use the same prayer. Well, there's lots of different types of prayer in the Bible, and we know from the beginning of this series that prayer gets God moving on the earth. Amen. That we have to literally untie the hands of God to move on planet Earth. Why? He can't legally do anything on this earth until the Christian who has authority over the God of this earth we're using our authority over him. You know, Adam lost that in the garden. Jesus came and gave it back to us, and now we get God moving on the earth. Remember John Wesley said this. He said, it seems that God can do nothing on planet earth until somebody asks him. And that's true. And so we better learn how to pray right. And we don't want to make it to be a bunch of legalization and a bunch of rules. Listen, prayer is just simply talking with the Father. But there's different rules that govern our prayer. We don't want to be legalistic in the way we pray, but we better learn the rules of it and be skillful. I always say this, the devil's skillful at what he does. He steals, kills, and destroys, and he's darn good at it. Praise God. He's very skillful at his trade. And so we're going to be skillful at our trade. And if there's different types of prayer, we're going to learn them. And when different needs arise, we'll use them. But it says praying always with all prayer. You know, one thing that is not a surprise if you come to this church is that I enjoy hunting. And not only do I have my New York State license, but I only live about 10 minutes from the Pennsylvania border, and actually where I live now, actually probably a little bit closer, which is kind of cool. You know, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, they're from Sheffield, Pennsylvania, and they live in the midst of the Allegheny National Forest. It's wonderful. They have lots of property that I can hunt on, and I hunt in different places in Russell, Pennsylvania, and Sugar Grove, and Youngsville. And I get both different licenses. And in the future, I plan on getting licenses in other states as well. But what I know this is that even though my house is 10 minutes away from it's only 10 minutes away from the border, which really kind of means that in the places I hunt in Pennsylvania, you know, when I get down in Sheffield and the Allegheny National Forest, the terrain changes. But where I hunt in New York State and then the 10-minute drive across the border where I hunt, the terrain's the same. You hunt the exact same way. You don't hunt any different. It's not like you're going up mountains and different things. It's the same exact kind of hunting. However, the laws and the rules that govern that hunting are quite different from state to state. There's some things you can do in New York that'll get you in trouble in Pennsylvania. And there's some things, if you do it in Pennsylvania, would get you in trouble in New York if you did it. And so it's hunting, But there's different laws and regulations that govern in different places. And it's the same with prayer. It's prayer. It's talking to God. But there's different prayers for different needs. So let's find out what the Bible says. Of course, we won't exhaust the subject by any means. And it's not, we're not going to get it all done tonight. But fall's still here. We still got the fall semester to take us into around wintertime. So let's take a look at what the Bible says. And we're going to start right here. We see in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and, there's that word again, supplication. Peter prayed in Acts chapter 1, it said that the disciples prayed and lifted up supplication to the Lord. That word's used a lot in the Old Testament. It's used here in the New Testament. So what is a prayer of supplication? So tonight, that's what we're going to look at, and that's probably all we're going to get to, is prayers of supplication. If the Bible tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication, we better not come to that and say, what's that mean, right? He's telling us to do it all the time. And Philippians 4:6 says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God and the peace of God, right? Which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's great benefit and blessing to knowing how to do that. Praise God and what that is. So we're going to look at what is supplication tonight. When do we use supplication? And what I'm going to do for you tonight will be a great blessing to you. Because what tonight does is it kind of puts, how do I want to say this? You know, Pastor Nancy said something like this concerning faith, and I can see it the same way with prayer, that it kind of puts handles on, or gives you kind of a GPS in your prayer life tonight, is what I want to say. You know, took a trip to get a puppy dog down in Virginia. I know, probably seems stupid to most people, but sure love her. She's a good dog, and I'm glad I did. And of course, you know, as Courtney said, why don't you get the GPS? We don't need that. We don't need that GPS. You got me. All right, I'm a guy, right? And we could have used the GPS a lot in that trip. And so, but what I found is you're wandering all over the place and not really. And people can do that in prayer. Prayer can be so overwhelming, and prayer can become so religious mindset. In prayer, the devil can give us so many thoughts. Tonight's going to give you a roadmap, a GPS, to not only how to pray successfully for yourself, to pray successfully for Christians, to pray successfully for the kingdom and for the plan of God, but also for your pastor and different things like that. And so if you want to be a prayer, and what you're going to find is a lot of these prayers that the Lord talks about, which would be in the line of supplication, they don't take a whole lot of time. And, you know, prayer done right doesn't have to be so laboring and hard. Now, I'm not saying there's not seasons where you'll have to pray longer, where the God will lead you into things or you're seeking for answers. I'm not saying that there won't be seasons of that, but this idea that, every day prayer has to be this thing where it's just all day long, where I have to quit my job or I have to come home and spend no time with my family. No, that's just not the case. And so let's find out what the Bible says about supplication here tonight, and we'll be blessed for doing so. So what is supplication? Well, the definition of supplication is this: a heartfelt, fervent, or earnest request. Not casual. Heartfelt, earnest, fervent request. We'll see in a couple examples of those things. James chapter 5 and verse 16. You know, I can tell when Caleb really wants something. You know, I can tell because it almost becomes like a begging. And I hear it all the time, whereas we could be walking in the store and he'll see something. Dad, I want that. No, we're not getting that. And he'll just walk away and he'll never say anything about it again. I know he didn't want that much. But if he says, Dad, I want that, and every time we're there, Dad, I want that, we go home, Dad, I want that, that's a little more earnest. That's a little more fervency. That's showing a little more oomph towards getting the job done. And look what it says in James 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's not what we're looking at. The effectual fervent. Now, why would the word put that in there? If it could just be casual or ho-hum type of prayer, the Bible would have said so. But it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One translation says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. A fervent prayer. Not just a casual request, fervency, an earnest thing, that a heartfelt, you're in it, praise God. And then it goes on and gives us an example. It says Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed casually. No. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Earnest, heartfelt. Go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, just showing you examples that it's not just a casual thing. It's not just a, well, you know, just this happens, great, if not. No, that's not what it is. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, showing you that it's not casual, showing you that it's heartfelt and fervent. And again, that prayer that, remember, it's a request, earnest, heartfelt request. When Elijah prayed for no rain, he was requesting something from God. That's all a supplication is it's a request, but it's done in a heartfelt, fervent, earnest type of way. We'll look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, now notice this, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, earnest, heartfelt. He was in it, glory to God. Verse 17 says, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O God, incline thine ear. That doesn't sound casual. You know what that sounds like to me? A man on his knees, a man on his face before God, crying out to God for the forgiveness of his own sins, but for the sins of his people. Just being there on behalf of other people. Glory to God. Verse 18, O God, incline thine ear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. I heard, regardless of how you feel about, certain TV ministries, and how you feel about different opinions, but I heard of Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn has had, no doubt, wonderful miracles in his ministry. I'm not up here to judge him or to comment on different things. I just know some good things have really happened from his ministry. But I knew somebody who, pretty close to somebody, who was able to pray with Benny Hinn on many occasions. And he said, you've never heard anybody pray until you hear someone like that pray. On his face, just crying out with everything that he has. Not this, oh, Lord, God bless me today. I'm going to bed and I'll see ya. I mean, right? I mean, on his face, he said, it took him aback, see, and he didn't care who was around. It was like he was so earnest, he was so heartfelt, he was so, there was so much desiring in the way he would pray. And we're so casual with God sometimes, aren't we? And here you see David, sackcloth and ashes, supplicating, requesting for himself and for people. And so it's earnest and it's heartfelt, praise God. So we need to know that it's not just random and it's not just casual. Well, now I'm going to show you, because again, it's just a request, but done in a heartfelt, earnest, praise God way, fervent way. So who can we pray these prayers for, these requests for? Well, thank God the Bible gives us examples. Thank God the Bible gives us specific prayers. The Bible gives us guidelines on what to do. Now go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I bet you many people will be surprised when I read this tonight. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Hallelujah. A lot of teaching tonight, you know. I don't stand in the office of a teacher like Pastor Tim does, but sometimes you have to get over into other things and teach other things. I'm sure some preaching will come out sometime tonight, but we're not going to force it, glory to God. We're just going to teach what we need to learn and be better walking out of here. But 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says this. It says, I exhort, therefore, now this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian ever used by God as far as what he accomplished, the revelation that he had. Not that God loved him anymore. I didn't mean it. Don't take it that way. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, First. Now he's going to go talking about prayer. He's going to say, before you pray for yourself, before you pray for your kids, before you pray for your parents, before you pray for your church, before you pray for your pastor, before you pray for your needs, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, then it narrows it down for us in the next verse, verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority. Why? What's the result of that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty. Maybe this is why America's in a mess. Because the church has dropped the ball and failed to pray for those that are in authority. Now, I don't care if you're a registered Democrat, a registered independent, a registered Republican. That's not how we should vote anyways. We ought to vote Christian. I don't care who thinks what. I care what God thinks. Praise God. Now, I might be registered a certain way, but I'm going to vote according to the Bible. In the way that the Bible goes. But notice this, it said that first of all, we ought to pray for kings and those that are in authority. Well, we don't have a king, but we have a president, and we have people that are in authority. And notice the Bible didn't say, if you agree or if you like the man or woman, to pray for them. See, because a lot of times, and again, this isn't anything specific to President Obama, but a lot of times, the people that are in office or over us are not believers. Are not Christians, and you better believe they need the Christians' prayers. They need our prayers, glory to God. They don't need our criticism. They don't need our talking behind their backs and saying and being dishonorable. Praise God. You might not agree with everything that the man or woman that is in office is doing, but you ought to pray for them. Why? Because if you don't, you won't live a quiet and peaceable life in all honesty and all godliness. You won't. You can see why there's it's interesting to see why there would be so much unrest in America. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but the percentage of mission work being done in the world was somewhere around 90% came from America. 90% of all mission work. America's been a beacon for the gospel. It's been an absolute beacon of funding money for the gospel, of sending people for the gospel. And you can see that things, the way things are going in the political realm, the way things are going in the social realm, that they're going away from the principles of God more and more and more. And they're going away from the ways of God. Why? That's just an attempt by the devil to squelch the gospel, to squelch the word going forth. I mean, you know, they're trying to tell you what you should be able to preach, and what, you know, trying to tell you that even though the Bible might say this, you're not allowed to say certain things, you know, certain social issues is what I'm trying to say, and different things like that. Well, you know, years ago, some of the things that are so accepted and so okay, you'd be afraid to even say those things. Now it's more normal to say all those things, and it's more, You're kind of crazy to be on the side of God anymore. Well, that's just the devil's goal, to try to squelch the gospel. It always has to do with people's lives. But see, when people are in authority, and how many of you do this? Before you pray anything at all, are you lifting up your president? Are you praying for those in authority in the national governments and in the local governments and lifting them up and praying for them? Well, if you're not, hopefully tonight's a good kick in the rear to get you to do so. Because your quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and honesty depend on it. How many of you know we have an election coming up in 2 years, right? We have an opportunity to start praying. What's a supplication for that? Lord, I pray that your person would get into office. Someone that would benefit America and benefit the kingdom of God. And again, I'm not saying that President Obama isn't. I'm not up here bashing him. I would never do that. Praise God, he's our president. I'm to honor that office. But I'm just saying that coming up next, you know, a lot rides on who gets in and who doesn't get in. And the church is the one, the driving force on this earth. Why do you think there's still good on the earth? It's because the Holy Ghost and the church is still here. You take the Holy Ghost and the church off the earth, and you talk about this place going to hell in a handbasket real fast. Yeah. We're the force that's still holding all back all the powers of darkness and all the powers of evil. And so we ought to be praying. And right now, Pastor, what do you pray for our president? I pray that our president would have godly wisdom. I pray that our president would be surrounded with people that would give him godly wisdom. I pray that his heart would be open to the things of God. I pray for his salvation if he's not saved. I think he claims that he's saved. Who am I to judge? But I pray for him and his family's salvation. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should go to heaven. I pray for their protection. I pray that they'd be surrounded with wisdom. I pray for this, the office of the presidency, that God's man or woman would get into office, and for the government and different things. Why? I want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, in all godliness and honesty. And so, first of all, you make requests that way, and you pray an earnest, heartfelt way. And if you're not doing that, well, then you're not in the will of God, because Paul says, first of all. Isn't that amazing? First of all. And I think we could probably all say at times, hopefully you're doing it, but at times maybe, wow, I've kind of dropped the ball in this area. Well, let's not drop the ball in these areas. There is a lot riding on it. And look what it says in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Praise God. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You get the wrong people in office, it's going to hurt the gospel. That's what I was trying to tell you. You get the wrong people in office, it's going to hurt the harvest. It's going to hurt many people being reached. Why? There's going to be stipulations. There's going to be restrictions. The word is going to be squelched, praise God. And so let's make sure as a church, let's do our part. You know, we might be, we're not the whole body. We might be just a small sector of the body, but we're part of the body. And we can do our part. And then if we can get, you know, Olean doing its part. And then, you know, I know the other family church pastors are doing it. And other men and women of God that preach the Bible, they're doing it. If we could all get on this bandwagon of doing our part, we could make some change and make a difference in this earth. Praise God. Well, also, go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. So we can pray it for authority. Amen. God's not interested in you criticizing the people that are in authority. He's interested in you praying for them. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Now this is written to the Christian. It says, be careful or anxious for nothing. But, so now it's going to tell you the combat to anxiousness or worriedness. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There it is again. Now, I'm going to hold off on this one concerning ourselves for natural things. You know, a lot of times, what can get us into worry and doubt? Money. That's a natural thing. Can get us into worry and doubt. Things with our children, things with our businesses, things with our body. Lots of different things in the natural can get us into worry. And he says that the way you combat that is by requesting of God. There's nothing that you can't have from him. Amen? But I'm going to hold off on that for the personal needs, the natural needs, because one of the things we're going to look at, not tonight, is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is almost like a personal supplication or a personal request. For example, the prayer of faith is when you pray for something that is not there, that you believe you have it and it shows up. Well, if the Bible says be anxious for nothing, let's say you're anxious about money. Well, how would you do that? You'd get into the prayer of faith about that. And so it's like a supplication. I'm going to hold off on the personal needs of ourselves until we get into that prayer of faith, which we will cover. But I want to show you this way we can pray for ourselves spiritually, which here's, if you understood this, see, a lot of people put more emphasis on the spirit, the natural realm. If you have things right spiritually, it'll show up right naturally. A lot of people have it backwards. A lot of problems, the root of the problem is a spiritual problem. It's not a natural problem. And so let's look at this now. Again, we don't need to turn back there, but remember in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Now, I'm going to show you some things that you can do to make a huge difference, not only in your personal life, but in the lives of people around you, supplicating for people. God wouldn't tell you to supplicate for people if they didn't need it. Right. He's not in the business of wasting our time. Right. Hallelujah. Galatians 4 and verse 19. Let me show you this. Galatians 4 and verse 19. Paul writing to the church at Galatia, he said, my little children. Now he's talking about Christians, because he wouldn't call them children. Of whom I travail in birth again That means he did it once before, or did it before. This would, he travailed before they were Christians, and now he's travailing since they're Christians. Now look what he's praying until, or travailing in birth. He's talking about, and we'll look at this when we look at praying in the Holy Ghost, travailing in the Spirit with groanings. That travailing in birth is given us the example or the analogy of a woman in labor. You know, that she would travail, she would groan, she would groanings and struggle and laboring. Well, there is a way, there is a prayer like that in the Holy Ghost. But my point is, I want to see is that Paul says, I'm travailing again until Christ be formed in you. That means, that tells us that just because somebody's born again, they haven't got it all. That Christ needs to be formed in them. And one way you can do that is by travailing, which we're going to look at when we talk about praying in tongues. But my point is that just because somebody's a Christian doesn't mean they're going to get everything. Galatians 6 and verse 2, if you just look over a page maybe in your Bible, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. To bear another one's burdens is to carry somebody's burdens. Well, how do we carry somebody's burdens? In prayer. In prayer we carry somebody's burdens for them. You know, and we'll look at this, especially the next thing we're going to talk about after tonight, we won't get to tonight, is the prayer of intercession. And a lot of times you intercede for the lost. And there's ways you can intercede for the lost. And you know, I heard a statement by, I can't remember what minister it was. I think it was Brother Hagin. Probably, I'm reading most of his books anyways. And he said this, the church fails to pray. And God can't do anything until people pray. And he said, people are going to find out that eternity is going to cry out against them. And it's never going to stop because people are going to miss out on things because the church failed to do their part. And so let's make sure we're doing our part. And so anyways, till Christ be formed in you. Now I'm going to show you something that Brother Hagin himself said. He said the turning point in his life came when he prayed the prayers that I'm going to show you more than 1,000 times for himself. You might think, 1,000 times? Well, it takes about maybe 2 minutes to do this. If you did it 3 times a day, right? Times 300, there's your 1,000 times right there. Not hard. Not hard, so don't get tripped up. But for a man of God, used of God, fulfilled his course, the prophet to the forerunner of Jesus, told to teach by people faith, the prophet to the nations for years, saying the turning point in his life, that causes me to perk up. Because he knew what he was doing. Praise God. So go with me to Ephesians 1. Again, supplications. Now, these prayers that I'm going to show you are prayers you can pray for yourself, which you should, but also prayers that you're going to pray for fellow Christians, which the Bible tells you. Praying always for all saints. Glory to God. I pray these prayers daily for you, more than once a day for you, lifting you up. You're going to find that Brother Hagin also said, if he had a family member or a relative, a family member, a friend, anybody that he knew that maybe struggled with an area as a Christian. You know, how many of you know not all Christians believe in divine healing? Not all Christians believe in prosperity. Not all Christians believe in divine protection. Not all Christians believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, how many of you know everything I just mentioned will benefit the Christian's life? Prosperity will benefit you. Healing will benefit you. Praise God, long life and protection will benefit you. And so will praying in the Holy Ghost will benefit you. Well, a lot of times people are just blinded to those things. And he would say that he would pray these things and see great results in family members and different people in his churches. Amen. And great results in his life where the word becomes more alive to you, more revelation. Well, let's look at what they are in Ephesians 1 and verse 16. He said, I cease not. You know what that means? He was doing it all the time. Right. Doing it all the time. I love this, what Pastor Nancy said last night, that Dr. Dufresne used to say to her. Her husband was gone home to be with Jesus. He said, Dr. Dufresne used to say, don't waste time by not saying anything. Don't waste time by not saying. I mean, we drive down in our cars and we could be praying this and making tremendous power available for people. We drive down in our cars and we could be confessing, you'll have what you say, confessing things for your life, but yet we're quiet. We don't say anything. Don't waste time not saying. Don't waste time not saying. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and verse 16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That word prayers there in the Greek is the word supplications. Making mention for you in my supplications or requests to God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. Now let's make sure we really see what these words are. Because I believe that if we would just see what these words are, and that when we're asking for these things, it's because we want what's on those pages to come to pass in our lives, in our loved ones' lives, in co-workers' lives, and whoever's in our life and in our immediate world. If we'll look at this, we'll see, wow, wow. If these things would happen to people, which they will if you'll ask for them, everyone that asks receives, the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. Boy, would there be great difference, not only in the church, but in ourselves and in our family. Listen to what he said. He's praying for the Ephesian church. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, the Bible says, blessed, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's what it says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The next verse says, through, or they come through. Now, all the things that pertain to life and godliness are what? Health, finances, all these different things that pertain to life and godliness. It says they come through the knowledge of him who's called us to glory and virtue. Now, look at this. It says that prayer is to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If people have knowledge of him, they now have a line to get all the blessings to flow through. Because the knowledge, it flows through the knowledge. Praise God. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, if you understood the riches that were available to you, because who cares that they're just his? The Bible says you're a co-heir with Jesus Christ. You're a joint heir with him. Whatever's his is yours. But see, people don't know. And he said, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working power? And then it goes on to tell you what he used that power for, raising him from the dead, setting him at his own right hand. So, if Paul prayed these for the Ephesians, they're good enough prayers for me. I'm not going to try to sit there and figure out words to say. All I do know is that 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If he hears us, we know we have. So it's important that when you pray that you're praying in line with the word of God or his will. You can't get in any more line with his will than praying the word. Don't try to figure it out yourself. God's made it simple for you. See, because we like to be found in our own righteousness. What do I mean by that? Unless we're doing and doing and doing, we don't feel like we've done enough. Because when it's simple, we can't hang our hat on that and say, we did something good today. Because we got to labor for hours. And it can't be just as simple as praying a 5-minute prayer, Pastor Mike. Why? It's the word. There's nothing more powerful. But because self-righteousness and because we think by doing and doing and doing, we're hanging the moon. No. Do it skillfully, right? Praise God. And you know, what's better? If you had an opportunity to make money laboring by the sweat of your brow and blood and tears and being tired, or sitting back and having money be made for you, what's better? I'll take that, right? Same with prayer. Same with prayer and these different things with faith and with God. Praise the Lord. And so he tells us that. Now go with me to Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Oh, you're going to like this one. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, verse 16, that he would grant unto you, supplicating, asking, requesting, heartfelt, earnest, fervency for these people, that he would grant unto you, now notice this, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, he's not worried about your outward man being buff. Right. Bible says that bodily exercise profits a little. It's good to be healthy. It's good to get exercise. But the inner man's what you want to work on. The inner man is what you want to spend feeding every day, working out, training the inner man. Because if your inner man is strong, your outer man will thrive. It will. Not only will you live longer, not only will health flow to you, you'll be dominant in circumstances, you'll be dominant in life. And Paul's saying, I'm praying that you'd be strengthened with might by spirit in your inner man, verse 17, that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because love is the key or the ignition to your faith, which causes the promises to come. He said, I'm praying you'd be rooted in love. You know, when something's rooted, they can't just be pulled out real quick. You go out some of the trees behind my house, some of the oak trees that we have a old sugar shack that was in the back of the property in little ways, and they used to make maple syrup there, and it's pretty cool because the sign, their last name was Anderson's, and we got a nice wooden sign that says Anderson's Maple Products. Yeah, it's neat, isn't it? I think it's cool. But it's got a tin roof on it. And man, those oak trees are just dropping acorns, and it's like smack, 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 smack. You go out and try to pull one of those things out of the ground, you ain't going to do it. Why? Because it's rooted. Paul's saying, I'm praying. You know, people that are dealing, that are so touchy and fretful and so, you know, just, I mean, the littlest things get them off. Well, that's not helping their lives. And if that's you, it's not helping your life. Because your faith is not working without your love. If you're not treating people kind, if you're not being sweet, if you're not being loving and compassionate, it's not helping your faith. So maybe you ought to pray that you'd be rooted in love. That way, nothing can pull you out. See, those trees that are rooted, a little bit of a windstorm comes by, it doesn't do anything to them. Their leaves might go like this a little bit. You know, even a heavy storm around here can't get those things up out of the ground. It takes a force, right? Well, Paul, so I'm praying that you'd be rooted in love. Means you can't be rooted in it until someone prays it for you. Hallelujah. That you'd be able to comprehend, verse 18. The width, the breadth, the height, length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't get it in your head. That a king would come to the earth blameless and die such a horrible death for you doesn't make sense to your head. But when you understand that love of Christ, isn't that what we talked about Sunday? Yeah. Understanding what God did for you, the place that He put you in. Oh man, does it set you on the right foot? Now notice this. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now here we go. That you, or whoever you're praying it for, might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is lacking there? Nothing. When you're filled with all the fullness of Him, you lack nothing. You lack nothing. There's no other greater place to get to when you've reached the fullness of God.
Amen.
Pray in that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just, for time's sake, I'm just going to give you references to write down. Philippians 1 and verse 19. Write these, if you're interested in praying these, or go back on live stream and listen and get these down. Philippians 1 and verse 19. How sad will it be if we get to heaven and the Lord says, all you ever did was pray for yourself.
Yeah.
All you ever did was ask for you. Glory to God. That's depressing. Philippians 1 and verse 19. Prayers you can pray. Colossians 1 verses 9 through 11. Now, go back with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 16. Can you imagine if the people that you knew, can you imagine if you were filled with the fullness of God? Can you imagine if the people that you knew, that you loved around you, that were struggling in areas, struggling with healing, struggling with addiction, struggling with financial problems, struggling with depression, can you imagine if they were filled with the fullness of God? Now, you can't pray these prayers for people that aren't saved. These are prayers that you pray for the saints. We're going to get to praying for the lost probably more next week, depending on how far we get. We're kind of running out of time already, but anyways, when we start talking about interceding for the lost, we'll show you how to do that skillfully. We mentioned a little bit in this series already, but these are prayers that you supplicate and request for the saints of God. These are not prayers for people that are not in the household of faith. And can you imagine, though, if we were filled with this? So what does this look like? Go back to verse 17. Verse 17 in Ephesians 1 is the beginning of that prayer. Now, I don't know how many times I've told people to do this. I've told it since 4 years I've been here. And it's amazing how I'll ask people, are you doing this? And they'll tell me no. Well, let's not do that anymore. This will make great power available for people. If Brother Hagin makes a statement, the turning point in his life, well, all I know is where his life turned to health, to prosperity, to victory, to blessing. Nothing ever troubled him. I want my life to turn that direction. He didn't say it came from any other way. It's in a lot of his books. He says, the turning point in my life came when I prayed these Ephesian prayers for myself over 1,000 times. And he said, you got to stick to it. And you got to do it every day. And you got to go after it.
Amen.
But this is how you do it. Let me show you how I do it for myself. See, now Paul's praying for the Ephesian church. Just make it personal, or just make it for whoever you're praying it for. Notice this in verse 17. This is how I do it. Father, I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have it memorized now, but I just pick my Bible up. Stop getting religious in prayer that the lights have to be turned down, the candles have to be lit, and you have to be on your knees and hold your arms up until your arms start shaking because they hurt so bad and the fat underneath your arm is wobbling. Just get that out of your head. Just talk to God. There are times you ought to be on your face. There's times you ought to be at His feet. But my goodness, God's not no religious God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some people have, this ain't me, this is not me, but some people have their best relationship on the throne. You know what kind of throne I'm talking about. And I'm not going to call anybody out in here and embarrass them tonight, but you know who you are. You've told me many times, praise God. Just talking to the Lord. But there ought to be times on their face with Him in prayer, seeking Him. Amen. You just never know what you're going to get when you come to one of my services. But I say the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me. I make it personal. He's saying unto you because he's praying. I say, give unto me or give unto Joe or give unto John or give unto Mary or give unto whoever, right? Whoever you're praying for. Or I'll say, Father, I pray that you'd grant unto the South Dayton Church, the Olean Church, all the people that are associated with those churches. Give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would know the hope of your calling, and that I would know the riches of glory of your inheritance in the saints, that I would know the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, according to the working mighty power. Now go real quick to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Again, making it personal. See, when something's given by the Holy Ghost, there is no expiration date. That's what I'm saying. Don't try to figure it out on your own. You have family members that are Christians, that are kind of ho-hum. Maybe they don't have a revelation that they need a pastor. Maybe they don't have a revelation that they need a local church. Maybe they don't have a revelation that prosperity is theirs. Maybe they don't have a revelation that divine healing is already theirs. That these things, that faith is important. Pray these prayers for them, glory to God. It'll help them. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 says that, and I would say that He would grant unto me, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love, that I would be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and that I would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. The turning point! And probably the greatest man of God in our generation said the turning point in his life was when he prayed these prayers. See, Paul didn't pray these prayers to waste time. He was skillful. He had a lot to do. He was praying and hitting the bullseye so it would help these Ephesian churches that he birthed and helped start, right? Praise God. He loved these people. So he prayed them. So I'm encouraging you tonight. Start praying these for yourself and watch things change in the Word. Watch things come alive to you. Start praying these faithfully for people that are born again, but maybe on the outskirts, maybe not understanding, maybe not getting it to the point. Maybe they just have this hitch in them about divine healing or whatever. Pray these for them. Things will begin to open up for them. Glory to God. I've seen it. It works. It works. Now, go to James 5 and verse 7. So that's for the saints and for yourself, supplicating for spiritual things. And again, I don't want to deal with the spiritual. No, because if you wouldn't say that if you knew the spiritual will lead to the natural being well. The spiritual will lead to the natural being well. James 5 and verse 7. Now I'm going to show you. So we looked at, you can pray those supplications or requests for those that are in authority. You can request and supplicate for those yourself and for those other saints spiritually, you can do that. Let's see here. James 5 and verse 7. Now you're going to see for the kingdom of God to supplicate. And I'm going to show you exactly what to ask God for. Now, these last two areas that I'm going to look at, I'm pleading with the church to be doers of this. You'll see a difference in our services. You'll see a difference in our communities. You'll see a difference in our church. Glory to God. James 5 and verse 7 says this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, Jesus, waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Why isn't Jesus coming back? Because he's waiting for the last harvest. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And has long patience for it. Now notice this. until he received the early and the latter rain. Now go with me to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. So we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord. We ought to be excited about that day. I'll tell you, I watch 5 minutes of news, and the only thing I can say after is, Lord Jesus, please come. Lord Jesus, please come. See, we get kind of caught up in the natural where we think, oh, man, but you know what? I'd like to hunt for 5 more years, or I'd like to finish that car I'm working on, or I'd like to do this. No, we want Jesus to come. Praise God. Now, there's lots of people that need to get born again and things like that, but there's always going to be lots of people that need to be born again. But the Father's waiting for that big outpouring before he sends Jesus to this earth. Well, what's holding it back? He's waiting for the early and the latter rain. Praise God. Zechariah 10. Ask. He wouldn't tell you to ask if he'd just do it on his own. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Now you might say, are we in the last days? You are so in the last days. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out and he said, they said, what is this? They're crazy. They're drunk. And Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose, for this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, yada, 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 you know the rest of it. But anyways, Peter declared that 2,000 years ago when the Holy Ghost was poured out, he said, we're now entering the last days. The last days, 2,000 years ago. How much closer? We're 2,000 days closer. If he said the last days, right? We're close, people. We're close, people. We're in the time of the latter rain. He says, ask the Lord the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, everyone grass in the field. Talking about natural rain? No, talking about spiritual rain. That's what the Bible said in James 5, that he's waiting for the early and the latter rain. Not talking about the natural rain's not going to get people born again. You know what I pray every single day? Father, rain. Send the rain, Lord. Rain down your spirit upon all flesh. Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Every man, every woman, every child. Hearts turning to you for the first time. Hearts turning back to you. Crying out earnestly. Send the rain, Lord. Can you imagine if the body of Christ asked him, send the rain, Lord. Send the rain, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh, Father. Glory to God. It's going to be easy to get people born again in these last days. The outpouring of the Spirit of God is going to be like never seen before. And people are going to flock to truth. And people are going to flock because it's going to get darker and darker out there, and we're going to be still the salt of the earth. We're still going to be light. The turmoil in the world, the turmoil in the news, and we're going to still have a happy face on. We're going to still have a shout about us. Praise God. Ask the Lord. So number one, when it comes to the kingdom, be every day crying out to God to send the rain, to pour out his spirit upon the earth. Pour out his spirit upon the earth. Can you imagine if you got serious and said, Lord, pour out your spirit upon my family members. Pour out your spirit upon the unsaved that are in my job. Pour out your spirit on them. It'll make it a lot easier for them to come to Jesus. Now go to Matthew 9 and verse 37. Once the rain's poured out, we can supplicate. Matthew 9 and verse 37. Praise God. Teach ye tonight, but we're learning.
Amen.
You know, I hope you go out of here and pray for your president and pray for those who are in authority. I hope you go out of here and pray these prayers every day for yourself, multiple times a day. You know, I can repeat those prayers, and it takes me, well, let's just see. Father, I pray that you grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then someone time this. Has anybody got a stopwatch? Let's time it. I want to put it into perspective for you. You got one, Jake? All right. Father, I pray that you'd grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would know the hope of your calling, the riches of glory of your inheritance in the saints, that I would know the exceeding greatness of your power towards me who believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, set him at your own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come, and that you would grant unto me, according that I would be strengthened with might by your spirit in my inner man, that Christ would dwell in my heart by faith, that I'd be rooted and grounded in love, that I'd be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the breadth, and the depth, and the height, and I would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and that I'd be filled with all the fullness of you. 40 seconds, and you'll change your life. Praise God. That wasn't so I could stand up here and show you that I can quote Scripture. When you read it enough, you can do that. When you've done it every day, like Brother Hagin told you to do it, you just all of a sudden know it. Big deal. So what? You'll be able to do that too. That's not the point of it. The point was that takes me 40 seconds. I can be driving, I can walk to get the mail and change my world by 40 seconds. Yeah. I can be walking to walking the dogs around my house, which I do, and changing our church in 40 seconds. 40 seconds. That's how long it took. And that was kind of fast, so maybe a minute. I got a little bit, I can talk a little fast sometimes. But the point of that was to show you to take off the religious blinders when it comes to prayer. And go out of here and pray for the nation. Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for people. Pray for the kingdom. Ask in the Lord, send the rain, Father. Matthew 9 and verse 37, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. What? A prayer of supplication asking, Lord, send people out. See, when you pray for the rain, that gets the atmosphere. It soaks the atmosphere with God's Spirit. So then when you pray for the laborers to go forth, they're ripe for the picking. The people are ripe for the picking. Because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So when you saturate the place with the rain, and then the laborers are sent out, they can start preaching the word and getting people born again just like that. Yeah. And then what happens is the latter rain comes and the precious fruit of the earth comes in and Jesus can come back. Praise God. You know who it's up to? You know it's up to us when he comes or not. He's waiting for us to do our part. Praise God. Hallelujah. So praying, Lord, send the rain, send laborers out, Father. How long does that take? I mean, come on. All this, we haven't even probably eclipsed the 5-minute mark of everything that it would take for you to do, to pray and be serious about this. Take your part in the body of Christ. Be somebody. Be somebody for Jesus. You know, I'm going to just kind of put this out there right now. And I hope that somebody in this series, because I know every great man and woman of God had people like this in their corner. Pastor Michael has them, Dr. Fran had them, Pastor Nancy has them. Brother Hagin had them. Somebody that sat under them, that saw that that person had a vision, that that person had a plan, that that person had a purpose, and will take it upon themselves to pray and to pray and to pray for the plan of God for the church that they go to. To pray and pray and pray that the pastor, that the plan the pastor has. I'm hoping somebody in this series will say, or if God's tapping you to do that, will sense that. I covet that. I covet that so much that somebody would step up and say, I'm gonna be that person. I told you about Karen from the Fredonia Church. She's one of those ladies that will pray, just take times and pray the word for her pastor, pray the word for the church, but pray much time in other tongues, praying out the mysteries, praying out the plans, praying out power. And she got called up in front of the church at the last service I was at Pastor Michael's church, and he ministered to her, and he heard in the Spirit, you're a hero in heaven. You're a hero in heaven. Now, down here, times people know is when she gets a natural, someone says she's a prayer, or someone, like right now, she's getting natural praise, right? But most of the people, for example, I stand up in front of people, people that are on the worship team, people that serve, you know, they'll get a lot of credit and be told, oh, great job, oh, we're so glad, it's a visible thing. But somebody that will take it upon themselves in private to pray the plan of God out when nobody can see, and God's the only one, and Pastor Michael said, I just heard you're a hero in heaven. Heaven looks at her as, wow. And I am just hoping that you're sensitive enough. If God, now everybody ought to pray for their church. Everybody ought to pray for their pastor. But there are ministries where God will tap people that will give you a special heart for me, a special heart for this church, to be somebody that will stand in the gap, which we'll look at more in intercessory prayer. Someone that will labor, someone that will put your time aside and just pray that God's plan would be done. Yeah, I just putting that out there, so be sensitive to those things. God doesn't need to tap you on the shoulder to do those things either. You can just take it upon yourself to be a prayer. But last but not least, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to close on this. You know, we start with after worship and everything about 6:45. And I don't like to go more than 7:45, even though last week we kind of did. But I want to be respectful of everybody's time and not keep you here all night, but 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 7 says this. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. When the Holy Ghost manifests in a service, the result of that is profiting.
Amen.
Profiting for the, it could be for an individual person or for the body as a whole. But we're not going to take time to go over these. But after that verse, in verse 8, and then actually kind of keeps going all the way down into the body, but it talks about 9 different manifestations of the Spirit. Or when the Spirit manifests in people. Things like gifts of healing, special faith, working of miracles, the discerning of spirits, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and tongues and interpretation of tongues, divers types of tongues. You know, for example, when a sickness is called out that somebody has, that the pastor had no knowledge of, that's a word of knowledge, and they come up, hands are laid on them, and they're instantly healed. You just saw 2 gifts of the Spirit operating, the word of knowledge and the working of miracles or gifts of healing. Most of the time we see is in gifts of healing that people need. They don't need a miracle. They need to be healed. But when those things happen, the Bible says, people profit. When somebody, praise God, when you can call out something in a service that, and it's talking about you, or the minister calls you up and speaks something in your life. I had this happen 2 weeks ago in Olean at the end of the service. The Lord was dealing with me about somebody and said, and I brought her up and I started just reading her mail out loud to her. Good things for her. And she's just weeping. How do you know this stuff? I don't. I'm just saying what the Holy Ghost is telling me. But when that happens, that profits people. But not only does it profit the hearer, it profits the whole church. When you see somebody healed miraculously, that profits the whole church. When the Spirit manifests, it profits people. I remember, of course, I told you about the story with the girl that had the lack of hearing in youth group, and she got healed. That profited the youth group. My cousin that came into us early on, she had scoliosis. And her one leg was about, I don't know, quite a bit shorter than the other one. She had back problems. And I just knew in my spirit that a working of miracle was about to take place. And that leg grew out in front of that youth group, and that youth group went bonkers. They saw it with their own eyes. Now, I can't do that. God can. What is that? A manifestation of the Spirit. You don't tell me that profited. Tell me that didn't profit the kids. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember when the Durants were here. Maybe some of you remember this. And Sister Annie got a word of knowledge about somebody that was running from God. Somebody that was running from God. And this person hadn't even been at the church in forever. And it was just a word of knowledge. She didn't know this person from anybody. It was might even have been the first night service that we had. Got a word of knowledge about somebody that was running from God. And said she wasn't going to say anything about it, and running from God and running from where they're supposed to be. And the word really kind of centered around they knew where they were supposed to be, where they were called, and who their pastor was, and all that. I don't want to get into the details about it. And this person just started weeping. Well, before she wept, Sister Annie walked right up to her. And that person knew that, my God, God's reading my mail. He loves me so much. And she just wept and wept. That benefits people. That manifestation benefits people. We need more of those things. See, that's what the Christian church is lacking, is the move of the Holy Ghost. We're in an era of word and spirit. If you're going to come to my church, you're going to have to enjoy the Holy Ghost. We're not kicking the Holy Ghost out of the church. We're going to, if the Holy Ghost comes in and the Holy Ghost comes upon me and tells me to dance, your pastor's going to dance. If the Holy Ghost tells me to run, I'm going to run. If the Holy Ghost tells me to jump on somebody and do it, I'm going to do it. If the Holy Ghost tells me to slap you, I'm going to slap you. And you'll be benefited from it. I've gotten Holy Ghost slaps. I felt great after. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Praise the Lord. It's true. The Holy Ghost. He does different things when he manifested. Why would Jesus spit and put it in people's eyes? I don't know. But that's what the Holy Ghost said to do. Why did Moses have to lift up the rod and do that? I don't know. Why couldn't God just do it? I don't know. He's God, right? He just, when the Holy Ghost, we're not going to push the Holy Ghost out of this church. We're not. We're a word and spirit. Word and spirit. Word and spirit. Praise God. But this is why I want you to see those benefits that not only benefit you, but the body as a whole. They'll never happen just because God wants to. God always wants to.
Amen.
God always wants to. It was awesome. Pastor Nancy said this last night. And yeah, I'm going to tell you this just because you need to know how much your pastor loves you. You know your pastor came home from those meetings just to have this service tonight.
Praise
I did. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on you how wonderful you are. I did not want to miss tonight. I normally go up there in those Canada meetings, stay all week in a hotel and get to enjoy it. But I could not miss this service. I just love you all too much. Praise God. But I got what I needed anyways. And she said in the service last night, she said, she was talking to God about how come it seems like sometimes you're more near to me, like you're more prevalent, right? I mean, do you ever have those times where it seems like God's a bazillion light years off, and other times he's so there?
Yeah.
And God said, it had nothing to do with me. Yeah. You just yielded more. Wow. You were more yielded to me. God doesn't change. He's always there, always ready, always willing, always able, always wants to. But we get so much stuff in between him. And see, God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to manifest in church services. God wants to see people getting out of the wheelchairs. God wants to see the dead being raised. God wants to see the blind eyes opening. God wants to see the marriages being restored. God wants to see kids that are told something being blessed and walking in a different light. God wants to see all those. It ain't up to him. It's up to us. I want to show you this, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 1. Actually, go back to 12 and verse 31 first. We'll go in order. I just like to mess your notes up. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. Now, he's just got done talking about the manifestation and the gifts of the Spirit. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet them. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity or after love, and notice this, and desire. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire. That's not just if it happens, it happens. And you know what I've found? When I take him literally, and I'm on my face crying, and I'm not crying out that they'd be necessarily manifested through me, you all can be used in spiritual gifts. They started operating in my life before I ever stood in the fivefold ministry. Out in stores, God would tell me about something supernatural about somebody that I had no idea. And I'd go up to him and I'd minister to him, and it would change your whole life. When God does that, it speaks to people. But that started operating in my life way before I got into the fivefold ministry. He can do that with you. Give you these ministry gifts, the gift of prophecy, where all of a sudden you're talking to somebody. Because all prophecy is edification, comfort, and exhortation. That's simple prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, speaking that unto people. But that's a gift of the Spirit. Where all of a sudden you're talking to somebody, whether it be before church, whether it be out in the store, and you know you're starting to minister the Word, and things are coming out of you like, how is this coming out of me? How am I saying it this way? I wish I could do this all the time. What is that? A gift of the Spirit manifesting? Showing up for the benefit of people because God loves people. Yeah. Praise God. So don't think that when I'm praying for gifts of the Spirit to operate in our church and in our midst, I don't just mean that they come through the ministry and through me. I mean operating in your lives. But I know this, that when I take this seriously and I'm on my face before him and I say, Father, we need the gifts of the Spirit. We desire them. We have to have them. We can't have church without them. We need to see these things. More of them show up. More of them show up. Because I refuse to put on a show and try to do it on my own. If anything, I err in the ditch of being too careful.
Amen.
Honestly, I do. And that's a thing I need to work out on my own self and just try to hit the mark. But I never want to put on a show. And so when God does these things, I find he does a lot more of them when I'm desiring and craving them. Can you imagine if the whole church was crying out to him for spiritual gifts? Lord, we desire it. We want to see healing. Oh, we desire spiritual gifts, Father. We desire spiritual gifts. They'd start happening more. He wouldn't have told you to desire them if your desire didn't matter. If your coveting of them didn't matter. See, we're coveting the wrong things. We're coveting cars and houses and clothes and vacations. And nothing wrong to want those things and to be believing for them, but we ought to be coveting the right things. Praise God. Coveting the wonderful things. Praise the Lord. Well, were you blessed tonight?
Amen.
You have direction. If maybe you didn't take notes, but you want to be a doer of this, it'll be on the archives. You can go back and listen to this. But remember, praying for the nation, praying for people, praying for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for this service. Father, It might not have been a rip-roaring, shouting off the wall types hanging from the chandelier service, but Lord, if we'll actually do these things and be doers of the word and supplications and praying in these manners, Father, we will see changes in our own life. We will see changes in our family. We will see changes in the people around us, and we will see changes in our church. And Father, we desire change. We desire to see more. We desire to be better, Father, to do these things right, Father, to be somebody that actually will pray. Father, help us, Lord. We love you tonight. We praise you. We give you all the glory. If by chance there's anybody listening by live stream, I'm fairly confident everybody in here is born again. But if somebody's listening by live stream or listening in the future by archive and you don't know Jesus, it's not hard. You don't have to jump through a million religious hoops to get to him. All you have to simply do is ask him to come into your heart. Ask him, tell him, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll do that, he'll save you. And then get a hold of us and we'll get you into a good Bible teaching church where you can start walking in victory and learning all that your Father has for you. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you. We're going to do our homework. We're going to be good soldiers and take the commands from heaven and change this world. Glory to God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for coming. Love to see all of you. We'll see you again Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.